The book of Psalms, chapter number 100, Psalms 100, Psalms 100, Psalms chapter number 100, very familiar passage. In fact, most of you in this service could probably quote this passage, and some of you used to could, but you hadn't quoted it in a long time, and you've kind of lost it, so you need to refresh your mind on these verses. Verse number one, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. Father, we ask you today that you will help us in these moments to take the Word of God and honor you with it. And dear Lord, may you take the Word of God and challenge us. May you take the Word of God and change us. Dear Lord, may we never be the same as a result of being in the service today. Lord, I believe it would be an insult to you, dear Father, if we leave the same way that we come today, or worse. Lord, I pray that you will help us to engage our mind, engage our heart, our will into what's going on in the service. Lord, because we cannot worship you without our will. We cannot worship you without our mind. And we certainly cannot worship you without our heart. Lord, I pray today that you will do a work in our lives. Lord, there's lost people in the midst that need to be saved. There are people here today that profess to be saved, but very little evidence of that in their life. Lord, they need to examine themselves. They need to get serious about the eternal matter of whether or not they're saved. We pray, dear Lord, that you will encourage those that are discouraged today. God, there's just a mixture of needs here today. Lord, the needs are various. Lord, there's big needs, little needs, known and unknown needs. Dear Father, I pray that you will help us. Lord, there's homes that need help today. Dear Lord, there's young people that need help today. Lord, we're just needy people. That's what we are going to say. We're just needy people. And Lord, we're not telling you anything, God, that you don't already know, because you know what we have need of before we ever ask. But Lord, we're asking today, Lord, that you would deal with and meet every need in this service. We pray that you'll get maximum glory. Drive back the powers of hell that would try to divide, devour, deaden, dry up this service. I pray you'll help us now in these next few moments to honor you with your word and worship you in an acceptable manner. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We looked at this passage of Scripture, or began to, last Sunday morning. And it's called in the heading, A Psalm of Praise. A Psalm of Praise. And this is the only psalm that is headed up with that description, A Psalm of Praise. There are numerous psalms that talks about the Psalm of David, etc. But this one says A Psalm of Praise. And the word praise is used, the Hebrew word that is translated praise is translated interchangeably several times with the word thanks and thankful and thanksgiving. So in light of that, and that's not doing the Scripture harm, because if you're praising the Lord, you're thanking him. And if you're thanking the Lord, you're praising him. And you can't do one without the other. And I believe this morning. You can't just make yourself to be thankful. Now I want you to get a hold of that truth. You can't just stand up and say, I am going to be thankful. You can't wake up one morning and just look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm going to be thankful today. Thankfulness is the fruit that comes from the root. There's a root that produces that fruit. What is it? I believe if you boiled it down, come all the way down to where you can't go any further with it, I believe you'll find out that it's a nature issue. A saved person have two natures. You have the flesh nature, the human nature, the Adamic nature, which is a fallen nature that loves sin. Every sinner have that nature. In fact, you that are saved still have that nature, the fallen nature. But then when you get saved, God makes you a partaker of His divine nature. You have the nature of God in you. That's the only way that you could love what He loves. That's the only way that you could desire His will to be done in your life. That's the only way that you could say yes, Lord, to Him, is to allow His nature to be in charge. Amen. And so I believe that thankfulness and gratitude to God comes from the fact of which nature you're walking after. Which nature is influencing your life. Amen. And of course, if you're lost, all you have is the fleshly nature, and the flesh will never say, thank you, Lord. It'll never mean it. It'll never bow. It'll never give homage. It'll never give adoration to the Lord. That's one of the reasons why even saved people ought to hate the flesh, is because the flesh hinders us, hurts us, hampers us, amen, harasses us in our walk with God. Amen, is our greatest and worst enemy. Amen. Are you listening? Most of us in here, in fact, I don't know of anybody in here that's had actually a personal encounter with the devil. Most of us don't need the devil dealing with us. Brother Roy Goodson, I believe it was Brother Roy Goodson, said he was. There was a lady testified in his service one day, and she was talking about how the devil's on her and how the devil's fighting her and how the devil's after her and all that. And he in a real nice way, said, ma'am, don't brag on yourself. He said, ma'am, don't brag on yourself, because you nor me nor anyone in here is of a spiritual status and of a spiritual caliber that would require the devil himself to show up. Most of us are tripped up, knocked off of our props, if you will, just by self. We don't need Satan. That self does much damage to us, our flesh, if you will. And I believe it's a nature issue. Amen. If you're thankful to God, that's going to be coming from your spiritual nature. Thankfulness and thanksgiving and gratitude to God is a spiritual matter. Amen. That's not a carnal matter. That is not an earthly matter. That is not even a human matter. It is a spiritual matter. Amen. And therefore, God's people ought to be the most thankful people on planet Earth. Amen. And so I believe it's a nature issue. I believe you, and listen, I preach around a lot, been preaching here a number of years. And you know what most song service really amounts to? Is trying to pump and prime and pull and push and get the service off the ground. And that is not the purpose of the song service. Amen. I don't know at the times that I've crawled in this pulpit and crawled in other pulpits and the service still laying flat on the ground. Was it because we had a dry song service? Well, that may have been a part of it, but that wasn't the reason. The reason, friend, is that the way we come in here. The reason is the condition we come in. We walk after the flesh. We listen to the flesh. We lean on the flesh. We're lorded over by the flesh. We love the things of the flesh. Amen. We eat lunch with the flesh and feed it. Amen. Everything it wants. And then when we come to church, we wonder why it's dead and dry and dull. And we wonder why the preacher struggles. We wonder why the choir don't have the touch on them. And we wonder why Sunday school's boring. It's not because of the text. It's not because of the content. It's not because of what's going on. It's because our heart is not right with God. Amen right there. It's a nature issue. If we're going to be, listen, we're going to be thankful to God, then the Spirit of God must be in control in our life. We must have that new nature, the divine nature of God influencing our life. In fact, I believe this. If you're walking in the Spirit, as the Bible says numerous times, if you're walking after the Spirit, amen, as the Bible says in the New Testament, if you're doing those things, Brother Fultz, I promise you, there's not enough devils in hell or out of hell that can stop you from living for God and being thankful and being grateful. Amen.
We need to quit blaming our circumstances for why we're not living for Jesus. Hello? I feel a little preach coming on. Amen? We need to quit blaming our valleys and our burdens and our problems and who don't like me and who's talking about me and they didn't shake my hand and I could tell by the way they looked they meant this or whatever the case is. And amen. We don't need to blame nobody except our own heart and our own life and the choices that we make as to why we're not walking with God. Amen. Amen. Worship is not something you do. Worship is an outflow, is an overflow. Worship is just the results. Worship is the consequence of your condition. Amen. You can't worship God if you're not right with the Lord. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever waited till you got to church to turn it on? I have. Come on now, nod your head like that. We've all done it. Amen. Come in church half cocked. Come into church half out of whack. Amen. Amen. That's right. Hadn't read. Wasn't a bit more right with God than a goat. And we come in here and our first song, Brother Craig fires it up. And we're trying to reach around in there. We're trying to find an on button. Amen. We're trying to find some kind of a switch that we can reach in there and flip it on because you know, amen, you can't enjoy God unless it comes through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I don't know who all that was for besides me, but I take it. Amen, I take it. Amen. But this is a psalm of thanksgiving. There's no way that you can do verse 1 through 5, one of the verses, or any of the verses, apart from your spiritual life. Amen. There's no way you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord in the flesh. Amen. You'll make a noise about something, but it won't be unto the Lord. Amen. But anyway, last Sunday we talked about in this passage that there are seven words that are in this passage of Scripture that are given as a command. They're given in the imperative mood, which expresses a command that is to be carried out based on the authority of the one doing the commanding. Amen. So these are commands that God has given to us. Here are those words, and we've already looked at a couple of those, or three. There is the word make in verse 1. Verse 2, there's the word serve, and also the word come. Verse 3, there is the word know. Verse 4, there is the word enter. Verse 4, there is the word be, and also the word bless in verse number 4. Those are seven thanksgiving commands. Thanksgiving commands. And I begin to think about how important our spiritual life is to God. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, a good question today would be for me to ask you this. How important is your spiritual life to you? Now, that'd be a good question, and that would be a good preaching subject. But I want you to know by the fact that God has given us seven thanksgiving commands, that he's telling us that your spiritual life is very important to me. God is looking at your spiritual life far more important than we are looking at our spiritual life. And I just jotted these few things down. And you can write them down or just listen. And I just thought about God's commands. God's commands. What does that say to me? What is that saying to me? Because if we don't pay attention to a command, then Psalms 100 is not going to mean nothing to us because that's what it's made up of. The whole chapter, the whole context is about thanksgiving and worship and praise, and it rotates and evolves around those seven words that I just mentioned. Command. I wrote these down. Lord just spoke to me in my devotions about what they are. God's commands are really God's expectations. When God says do, he expects us to do. When God says do not, he expects us to do not. When he says to make a joyful noise, he expects you to do it. When he says serve the Lord with gladness, he expects you to do it. When he says come before his presence with singing, he expects you to do it. He expects you to know that he is God. He expects us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. He expects us to be thankful unto him. He expects us to bless his name. So the commands of God are God's expectation. They're not God's suggestions. Amen. The Bible's full of commands and commandments. They're not God's suggestions. They're not, if you feel like it, that's okay. No, they are God's expectation. When God says so, he means it. And by the way, here's something else God spoke to my heart about it. All of God's commands are within reach. God never has told anybody to do or do not, my friend, that was out of your reach and out of your potential of doing. Hello. Let that sink in. When God says as a command, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that's within your reach to do. Serve the Lord with gladness, that's within your reach to do. Amen. Come before his presence with singing and all the rest of the seven, that's within our reach to do. Amen. You know we're not falling and failing outside our boundaries. We're falling and failing within our boundaries. We're not dead this morning, dry or defeated or discouraged this morning of stuff that's out of our reach, by things that's out of our reach. No, it's things that we put our hands on. It's things within our reach. Amen. So command, I'm trying not to get hung up on these, but that's good preaching right there. Amen. They're God's expectation. They're within our reach. Number three, the commands of God are God's protection for me. Come on, parents. When you tell your child, now don't you do that. Don't you eat that. Don't you touch that. What are you telling that child? I'm protecting you. Right. Come on now. Do we, Brother Travis, look at the commands of God like that? No, rebellion rises up. God, you're not trying to protect me. You're trying to tell me what to do. But God's commands are God's protection of you. When God says don't do something, he knows that that will be detrimental to your spiritual life. He knows don't touch this, don't eat that, don't drink that, don't go here, don't do this. Why is he doing that? Is he just trying to make your life bondage? Is he trying to fill your life with bondage? Oh no, he's trying to protect you. Boy, if you look at the commandments of God like that, you won't get mad when God lays out some commands in the Word and the preacher preaches on them. Amen. You'll say, well, praise God. God said, I need to do that or don't do that. I'm going to the altar. I'm going to get this thing right because God knows there's something dangerous over there. God knows there's something over there that'll flaw my character. God knows there's something over there that'll poison my spirituality. God is trying to keep me out of something. God is trying to keep me away from something. Oh, man. Woo! I'm telling you, this is feeding my soul right here. Amen. Because how many people get tripped up in the commandments of God? Here's another thing God spoke in my heart about these commandments. Is that they are not only those things I mentioned, and I'm not going to go back and relist them. You just have to get them as we go through. But they are also God's pick of excellence in my life. When God says do or don't do, and God says make a joyful noise or serve me with gladness or come before my presence with singing or any of those commands or any of the other commands in the Word of God, that is God's best for me. That is God's pick for me. That is, amen. Do you look at the commands of God like that? They're God's pick of excellence for me. You can't live a better life than living according to God's Word. Amen. You can't live a better life. It's God's pick. It's His best for His people. And then I want to say also, amen. Boy, it's good, ain't it? If the Bible says, Brother Ivan, thou shalt not kill, and it does, and you kill, what does that mean? That means you've sinned. You've transgressed a commandment. Thou shalt not lie. If you lie, what have you done? You've sinned against God. Why? Because you broke a command of God. God also says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if we don't do that, what are we doing? He also says, serve me. Not just serve me, but he said, serve me with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. If we're not doing that, then we've sinned against God. If we have not come before His presence with singing, amen, know ye that the Lord, He is God. If we don't enter into His gates with thanksgiving, if we're not being thankful, then what is that? That's sin. Amen. Oh yeah, God help us. Here's another thing commands do. Here's another thing. Write it down. I don't know what number it is. I don't have a number. I just got them listed. Here's another thing. God's commands are God's mark of distinction on His children. Amen. Who's this crowd here in chapter 100 that is receiving the sevenfold commands of thanksgiving? Who is it? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Did you know that you are distinguished as a believer, as a child of God, by your living according to the commands of God? Now, I'm not a child of God because I live according to those commands. Because none of us can do that. We all fail. And if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in all. But we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about spirituality. We're talking about pleasing God. We're talking about being thankful, amen. So it is the mark of distinction upon His children. If you don't want nobody to even think that you're a child of God, and I can't imagine somebody saved even having that mentality. I can't imagine somebody saved not wanting others to know that they are saved. I promise you, I won't get mad nor defensive if you ask me, preacher, are you saved? Amen. Had a fellow that asked me the other day, said, you know, I was going to be preaching in their church, and I'd never preached there before. And they said, preacher, I need to ask you this. I mean, I know you and I know this, but said, preacher, I just want to ask you now. You know, we strictly King James over here. And you know, I said, brother. Son, that's like cake and icing, brother. That's not going to make me mad. That just gives me an opportunity to agree. That gives me an opportunity. If you ask me, preacher, are you saved? I'm not going to get mad. I'm just going to say, you better sit down a few minutes, because I'm going to tell you. Now that you've asked, I'm going to tell you a few minutes. I'm going to take you back through and give you details about when I got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. It's a mark of distinction. Here's you another. I've got to hurry. Lord, help me, Jesus. Here's you another one. What are the commands now? The commands are this. They are good for other people. They're good for other people. What do you mean, Brother Craddock? As I obey the Lord, that makes me that makes Miss Wanda a good neighbor. If I didn't obey the commands of God, I wouldn't be a good neighbor, would I? Right? Hey, man, as I obey the commands of God, that makes me a good daddy. Amen. That, I mean, thou shalt not kill makes you a good daddy, wouldn't you think? I mean, thank God. You better thank God for that. That's why you're on the front rows, because He believes that and He practices that. Amen. Thou shalt not lie. Don't you think that'd make you a good daddy or a good wife? Amen. Amen. Honor your mother and father. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Will that not make you a good son? Will that not make you a good daughter? Hey, I'm telling you, the commands of God were not ever meant to hurt you, but they meant to make you a better person, amen, and be a blessing to other people. Amen. Commands of God also are to honor God. You honor God by saying, yes, Lord. You honor God by obeying what He tells you to do or not to do. Amen. And that right there ought to be motive enough. That ought to be motive enough for you to want to do everything or not do everything. Whatever it is, the commandment is, whether it's positive or negative, that ought to be motive enough in your life, is that this is a way that I can honor God. Amen. Quit thinking about, well, I can't do this, and you know, if I get saved, I can't go here, and I can't do this. Listen, being saved is not a bunch of bondage. For everything I can't do, there's a bunch I can do. The cans outweigh the can'ts. Amen. That's right. The do's outweigh the don'ts. That's right. If all you focus on what you can't do, you're either not saved or else you're still a baby in Christ. Amen. The mark of maturity is that you go from can't to can. You go from don't to do. Amen. All right. It's a way of honoring God. Listen to this. Are y'all listening? Hello. Here's another thing about the commands of God. Lord, give it to me so evidently you want me to preach it to you. Amen. The commands of God is our way of defeating the devil. Amen. Between the subject of lie or not lie, which side do you think the devil's on? Well, we got two or three in here is thinking. Usually when I ask a question, I'm looking for an answer. Amen. I mean, if you got thou shalt lie and not lie, which side do you think the devil's on? The lying side, right? So the devil wants you to lie. He wants you to cheat. He wants you to steal. He wants you to, listen, he wants you to be immodest. He wants you to be immoral. He wants you to do all those things. He wants you to be worldly and carnal and fleshly. Amen. That's what he wants. Now, but God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be separated. God wants you to live a pure life. God wants you to tell the truth. God wants you to love your neighbor. God wants that. Amen. Amen. So when I do what God says, then I'm defeating the devil's intentions. That's good preaching, Preacher Radcliffe. Amen. Defeats the devil. And then last, I know you're looking for that one, but this is just some thoughts. Here it is. The last thing God gave me on that, on the commands, and I'm sure there's more. Now, I hope God gives me some more. Those things fed me. They're very practical. It takes the Word of God and makes it very practical in your life. Amen. But it also, the Word of commands, a command separates me from the world. The world is against God. This world's trend, Miss Arlene, this world's gear, this world's direction is to oppose God, to contradict God, to contrast God, to go against God. Hello! Is it not? Sure it is. And so when I listen to the commands of God, when I do what God's Word tells me to do or to not do, then that separates me from this world. Right. Amen. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Well, since we got all that behind us, that was good. I mean, that fed me. That really did. That fed my soul. But there is, and I'll try to pick up where we left off, but there is, of course, the first one is making, verse 1, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then verse number 2 has our second command, and we've already covered that in part, and that is serving God with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Did you know you can serve the Lord but leave the gladness off? Serve, and that turns service into bondage. That turns service into an obligation. Do right instead of because it's a pleasure and a joy and you're wanting to please God and a desire. Instead, it becomes a job and it becomes a duty and it becomes an obligation. And I've got to go to church and I've got to read my Bible and I've got to pray and I've got to give to mission and I've got to, I've got to. Amen. No. God's people that are living according to God's commands, amen, following after the spiritual nature, we don't say I got to, we say get to. Amen. I get to go to church. I get to pray. I get to read the Bible. I get to give. Amen. Hallelujah. It makes a big difference. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. And then, boy, I'd like to go back. I've seen some more stuff right there coming through there, but I'm just, help us, Lord. Thirdly, the third command was what? Come before His presence with singing. So you got making, you got serving, you got coming. Come before His presence with singing. And I just thought about that word come this morning just briefly. Lord, give me this and you can write it down. When you think about the word come, it suggests about three things. It suggests desire. Come into His presence with singing. You're not going to do that if you don't desire it. Hello. Amen. It's a desire. It's a decision. Number two, it's a decision. Come means I've made the choice. I've made the decision that I'm going to move from where I am to where God wants me to be. Come in before His presence with singing. So it identifies a desire. It identifies a decision. It also identifies a direction. Come before His presence. Come means you're leaving from where you are and you're going in a Godward direction. Can I ask y'all a simple question this morning? I wonder how many in this building from the pulpit through the pews are really on a Godward direction with our life. Drawing nigh to Him. Trying to get close to Him. Trying to follow His footsteps. Amen. Amen. So it identifies direction. It also identifies departure. You can't come if you don't leave. You can't come into His presence if you don't leave where you are. And that's why a lot of people don't do no better than they're doing. They don't want to leave where they are. They don't want to leave what they are. Amen. How many people's living defeated lives because of what they were, are unwilling to depart from? And then, of course, it's clear there's the word destiny that's implied there. Come before His presence with singing. That's the target. That's the goal. That's where you want to get, is in the presence of God. How important is the presence of God to you personally? How important is the presence of God to you privately when nobody's around? You're not impressing anybody. You're not having to worry about embarrassment because somebody's looking or listening. But rather you, listen, hey, that's right. Listen, they're privately. Privately. If you don't worship God privately, you won't publicly. Amen. I believe our churches are on a low spiritual level because of the private life of people. Sin is so accessible. Sin is so attractive today. Sin, I'm telling you, can be swimming in a sea of sin in a matter of seconds with the accessibility of it today. Are you listening? And people, listen, they've thrown their Bible away and traded it in for a cell phone and an iPad and a computer and an internet. And the next thing you know, instead of using those things as tools, they use them as toys. You take a chainsaw. Brother Fultz, you let me borrow your chainsaw. Now that's a tool. And as long as I use it as a tool and used it as a tool, and I did, it was beneficial to me. But now if I'd have got that out there and started just playing with it, you know, somebody would have got hurt. Probably would have been my wife, but somebody would have got hurt. Amen. Are you listening? Hey, amen. Come. Oh, come before His presence singing. Look at number three, or verse number three. We have number four. We have our knowing, the command of knowing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Well, this is an important one. This is where we got to, far as I know. The word know means to own. Own Him as God. Own Him. And of course, you know what that implies. If you own Him as God, and you own Him, the fact that He has made you, then He owns you. If you don't own Him, He don't own you. Amen. Saved people are possessed people. Amen. You are the possession of Him. You've been bought with a price. The Bible says that. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Be you not servants of men. So we find that knowing, the word know means to own or to acknowledge. God is saying, I want you to acknowledge me. Thanksgiving acknowledges God. You say, preacher, Thanksgiving was Thursday. We're after that now. Thanksgiving is not hemmed up on a day or even a month or even a week. Thanksgiving is all the time for the believer. Amen. Yeah, that's right. It means to acknowledge. Listen to this. This is good. The word know also means to be aware of. Be aware of the fact that He is God. Be aware of, Brother Chuck. That is, live it with a God consciousness. Boy, how much do we fail in that area? I pray it often. God, help me to be God conscious. Help me to walk and live with a consciousness that the Lord, He is God. And it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Living with an awareness. But it also means to confess. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. He said, know ye, meaning confess it. Tell it. Tell it. Amen. Make it known. Let your thanksgiving have a voice. Don't just feel it in your heart and have it as an attitude. But proclaim it. Acknowledge it. Can you see God with that desire, Brother Tim? He don't have to tell the animal kingdom to praise Him. He doesn't have to tell the plant world to praise Him. He doesn't have to tell the, the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air, beasts of the field. He doesn't have to tell the planets and the stars to praise him. The only one he has to say do it is to us. Why? Because we have a will. And our will, if it's being controlled by our flesh, we'll never praise him, we'll never thank him, we'll never bow to him, and we'll never serve him. But if we're living after the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and that happens when you get saved, amen. I want to tell you, if you're living after the Spirit of God, my friend, you can be thankful unto the Lord. And your thanksgiving will have a voice. Amen. God wants your worship to be according to intellect. Boy, that don't sound right, does it? Why do you think he used the word no? Why do you think he said my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Money? No. Lack of possessions? No. Lack of popularity? No. No, the Bible said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Did you know? Hey, come on now, help me, Jesus. Did you know the reason that our worship is so low and limited is because you can't worship beyond your experiential knowledge? You can't worship where you don't know. You can't worship what you don't know. Huh? I mean, far as worshiping God now. Jesus told the woman at the well, what was it he said to her? He said, you worship you know not what. Or no, that was Paul on Mars Hill. You worship you know not what. They didn't know God. They didn't have a clue who he was. They just had a sign out there said to the unknown God. Hey, I want to tell you, we're not serving the unknown God. We're serving the known God. Hey, how do we know him? He's Creator God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And I'm going to tell you, you can't be thankful if you're not convinced that the Lord is God. Amen. If you believe in a plurality of gods, you can't worship God. Amen. That's right. Amen. We're a one God people. Amen. Because besides him, there is none else. Amen. But listen. Listen, he's the one that created us. Know ye. What do we know? We know that he is God. We know that's his position. We know that he created us. We know that. That's what the Bible says. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. Listen, you can't explain that. I mean, Brother Silas and all of his expertise can't explain that. You can't explain that, but I'll tell you what, I believe it. I don't know how he made us. I don't know how he made the worlds. I don't know how he made a gnat, far as that goes. But I want to tell you what, I know he did. Hello? Amen. You don't have to explain it to believe it. In fact, if you can explain it, it don't require faith. I can't explain my first birth, much less my new birth. But I know both of them are a fact in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. All things were created by him and for him, Colossians 1:16 says. Are you listening? The Bible also says this, and I'm going to go on here. The Bible also very clearly says this, that we are his people. We are his people. Do you know that means that we share things in common? When I refer to my family as being my people, that tells me that we've got something in common. We've got something in common. When I say that RBT is my people, that means we've got something special, something in common. When God says that we are his people, that means we've got something in common. What is it in your life that you have in common with God? Most people, I say most people, a lot of people, at least be safe to say that, a lot of people go to church. They don't have much in common with God. In fact, their whole life is given to opposing God. They're worldly, amen. And the Bible says in James, to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And if you live like Christ lived, the world will treat you the way they treated Christ. If the world loves you, the Bible says it very clearly. I believe it's in John, was it John 15 or John 16? Right there he said the world will love his own. If the world loves you, they look at you as one of them. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Sure it is. But we are sheep. The Bible said we're not just his people, but we are sheep. Boy, there's a lot of preaching right there. We are sheep. A lot of people's claiming to be a sheep. But where are the sheep characteristics? Where is the sheep evidence? What grounds do you have to prove that you're a sheep? Hello? The first and foremost is Jesus Christ is your shepherd. And when you take that into consideration, that's a big subject. When Jesus is your shepherd, that means He's leading you. When Jesus is your shepherd, that means He's feeding you. Amen. You and you're going in the same direction that He's going in. When you're a sheep, means He owns you. We are the sheep of His pasture. We feed in His pasture. Sheep feed in God's pasture. Amen. Amen. John 10 gives several characteristics of sheep. That's a whole other message. But one of them is, He said, "My sheep hear My voice." My sheep hear My voice. How long has it been since you heard God? Does God speak to you? You said, "Preacher, define that." Well, if God's ever spoke to you, you don't need that defined. Amen. Listen, we hear His voice. My sheep hear My voice, and the Bible said they follow Me. They follow Me. And then it said, a stranger they will not follow. A stranger they will not follow. And a stranger is anything and everything that opposes the shepherd. Hello? All right. Next, write it down quickly, verse 4. Entering into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That is our next command. That is our next command. Entering into His gates and with thanksgiving. And then it says into His courts. So you have gates and then you have courts. Gates is the external, the outer court entrance. But then when you come into His courts, you're coming into the intimate zone. You're coming into the closeness zone. Amen. Amen. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Courts are the open spaces that surrounded the tabernacle and temple. Worship took place here. Not in the temple. Not in the temple were only certain officials. Listen, in the temple, the Old Testament, and the tabernacle in the Old Testament, only certain people were permitted to go in the Holy of Holies. Is that right? Amen. But I want to tell you, thank God for the New Testament economy. We all have access with God now. We all have access. What a privilege it is to enter in. What a privilege it is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And I made a note of that. Just thank God for the privileges of access. The privileges of being able to get in and come nigh and draw nigh and to get close. What if we lived in the Old Testament economy when only once a year the priest could go in? I couldn't go in. You couldn't go in. None of us could go in. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, listen. Do you realize there was a time when you and I, as Gentiles, weren't permitted to even access the things of God? We weren't even called a people. We weren't even called a people. The Bible said in Romans that we who were not a people are now a people. There was a time, Brother Brad, as a Gentile, we weren't even looked at as a people. We didn't even have no identity. We were rejects. None of the promises was given to us. None of the covenants was given to us. None of us had opportunity to serve in the temple or in the tabernacle. Are you listening? But thank God when Jesus died on the old rugged cross, hallelujah, He broke down the middle wall of partition that separated Jew and Gentile. He said that separated us, that kept us excluded, that kept us out there in the no hope zone. Aren't you glad now we have access? Now we have the privilege of approach, amen, to the things of God. Let me hasten on, because I want to finish this morning. Not only do we find entering as a command in verse number 4, and there's a lot of preaching there. Entering in with, that word is used twice, enter in to His gates with thanksgiving, meaning it's already in motion when you come through the gates. Tells us what's going on before you enter in. Tells us what's going on when you enter in. And it tells us for sure what's going to go on after you enter in. Amen. If you enter in here with thanksgiving, I'd surely say you'd probably be thankful in here. If you entered in here with praise, I'd say probably some of that would go on in here, wouldn't you think? Amen. But here's your another one. Verse number 4, this will be command number 6, be thankful. Be thankful. Be. The emphasis is on be. That's the imperative, be. It's a command, be. Did you know being thankful is not what you do? Being thankful is what you are. Amen. Amen. That goes back to what we said earlier. Being thankful is not something that you try to just find a button and a switch and trying to do, trying to manufacture it, trying to create it. It's not that at all. Being thankful comes from your life. In fact, someone said it best, and it's not new, but it said best. Thanksgiving is best said thanks living. Thanks living. Thanks that lives. Thanks that gives. Thanksgiving. And thanks living. If you're not living the thankful life, I'm going to tell you straight out, you're not thankful. God says, I want you to be thankful. Be identifies the state of being. The state of being. This is what I want you to be. This is what I want you to be. Amen? Be thankful. So there is that. Amen? And then there is the last one, number 7, is found in the last part of verse 4, and bless his name. The word bless is one of those imperatives. Bless his name. Notice that. It's not God blessing you. In fact, the very term thankful, thanksgiving, identifies that we already know we're blessed. We've taken a roll call of our blessings. God has blessed us. Amen. But here, ladies and gentlemen, God is not talking about his blessing toward us and on us, Brother Ivan, but rather it is talking about our blessing him. It's talking about us blessing him. Amen. What's hindering that this morning in our life? Blessing him. Blessing him. We want the Lord to bless us. Bless the Lord. Bless us. Bless us. Bless us. And he delights to bless us. And we're all living examples of the fact that he's blessed us abundantly. But I want to tell you, friend, it's time for us to reverse that. It's time for us to turn that back in his direction and bless him. Amen. We ought to bless him. We ought to bless his name. He said, bless his name. Bless his name. Amen. That tells me I can bless him. He can bless me, and he does. I can bless him. Do I? I can bless him. You can bless him. Do you? Your spiritual life will go to another level when you get off of the focus of him blessing you and you start blessing him. Amen. Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, I want to bless your name. I want to praise you. I want to give you the glory that is due your name. If you'll listen, I want to read some verses. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. David said, I will bless the Lord. Psalm 26:12, my foot standeth in the even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. You're in a congregation this morning. Are you blessing the Lord? Every time we congregate, we ought to be blessing the Lord. Before we get here, we ought to bless the Lord. Privately, riding down the road. Amen. Ought to bless the Lord. Amen. Psalm 34:1, most of us quote that verse. Amen. David said, or is that Psalm 46:1, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34:1, which was a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. Here's what he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 103:1-2, how many knows that? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalms 104:1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Psalm 115:18, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalms 34:2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Only naming a few of the many times that bless the Lord is used in the Bible. The largest book of the Bible is the book of Psalms, and it's a book of praise, book of worship, book of blessing. The last chapter, Psalms 150, and the last verse, David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, use this verse to summarize the entire book of Psalms. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Are we praising Him? Are we blessing Him today? Are we blessing Him? And he gives three reasons, and you can write those down. I'm not going to preach on them, but you can write those down. In verse number 5, he gives us three reasons why we should be thankful, why we should be blessing Him. One is the Lord is good. Have you ever looked at the Bible, how many times that's mentioned? How many times that's given? One that really ought to stand out is in Romans chapter 2. I believe it's in verse number 4. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know why you ought to get right with God this morning? God's been good to you. I mean, God's been good to you. That right there, listen, sometimes we think, you know, God's just going to have to tear me up to get me right with God, and He will do that if it comes to that. But you know what you really ought to do? You ought to let the goodness of God lead you to repentance. Amen? You ought to let the goodness of God lead you to repentance. Amen? Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Amen. Boy, there's verse after verse after verse that deals with the goodness of God. And then it said, a second reason we ought to be thankful and that we ought to bless His name is not only for the Lord is good. By the way, that word is shows that God will never change and God will never cease to be good. Hey. So if God never ceases to be good, then my blessing Him will never cease. Amen. God will never cease to be good, so therefore I'm to bless Him as long as He's good. And He'll never cease to be good, so I should never cease to be thankful for time and eternity. He said we're to be thankful for the fact that He is good. But then secondly, His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy. We're to be thankful. We're to bless Him because of His mercy. His mercy. So what is that? His mercy withholds from you what you deserve. You want to get blessed all over this morning? You just start thinking of what you really deserve. And then compare that to what you really got. None of us deserve to put our feet on the floor this morning. None of us deserve to have a Bible. None of us deserve to come to church. None of us deserve to have a voice. None of us deserves the physical abilities that God has blessed us with. None of us deserve that this morning. But mercy, hallelujah. Boy, if God give us what we deserve, we'd all be bleeding this morning. If God give us what we deserve this morning, I'll tell you, we'd be in a mess, friend. And I rejoice with the Bible. I rejoice with the Bible because the Bible says His mercy is everlasting. Thank God. I'm glad His mercy doesn't come and go and it won't leave. I'm glad it's everlasting. I like that myself. Amen. I mentioned this on Wednesday night about His mercy. You'll never be grateful for those things that you feel entitled to. See, mercy gives you what you don't deserve. You say, preacher, that verse has got the goodness of God, the mercy of God in the same verse. Sure it does. God can't be good to you if He's not merciful. Hello. If God wasn't merciful, then He'd have to be just. And if He gave you what was just and what you deserved and what you got coming to you, we'd all be in a mess. We've all failed God in the last 24 hours enough that for God to really put us out of business. Say amen right there. Say, not me. Well, I'll let your wife testify. Hey, man. We'll let your children testify. We'll let your husband testify. We'll find out the truth. Amen. Yeah, you'll never be grateful for the things you feel entitled to. Well, I deserve this. I've got this coming to me. This is mine. No. We need to look at the blessings of God as the undeserved favor of God. Amen. But then he said a third reason why that we ought to be thankful and grateful is for the fact that His truth endureth to all generations. Can you imagine what we'd be without truth? Everything I know about God comes from this Bible. Everything I know about sin, everything I know about salvation, everything I know about the devil, everything I know about hell, everything I know about anything much that deals with God comes from this blessed old book. Thank God we have the truth. We have a copy of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. His truth endureth to all generations. And I want to tell you, God attaches in this Bible, God attaches truth to and thankfulness. If truth is not big in your heart, thankfulness will not be. Amen. Truth. Want to be truthful. Want to live a truthful life. Interested in truth. Amen. Every once in a while when I get in the pulpit to preach, you may hear Brother Craig say, bring us the book, which come from the book of, the book of Ezra? Bring us the book. Bring us the book. Bring us the book, Ezra. Bring us the book. And you know what they did when they brought the book? They stood for half a day and did nothing but read it publicly. Do we really want the book? Bring us the book, preacher, but get her done in about 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70. Bring us a book. I don't think we can handle Paul. Paul preached long one night. Eutychus fell out the window and broke his neck. You thought that would have disrupted the service. Paul just quit preaching, went down to the ground, raised him from the dead, went back up and had church till daylight. I bet Eutychus didn't go back to sleep no more. I bet he wasn't sitting in the window no more either, amen? Amen. Somebody said Eutychus too if you'd have fell out of the window, but we couldn't handle Paul. We couldn't handle Nehemiah. We couldn't handle Ezra. We couldn't handle Elijah. We couldn't handle John the Baptist. I'm telling you, we become such a tender Christianity today that if you preach anything negative, anything, you know, that cuts cross grain with the flesh and the traditions of men, people get the poochy lip and get mad and all of that. You know what God's people are interested in? Truth. Give us the truth, preacher. If it's in that book, do not hold it back. That should be your desire. Preacher, if it's in that book, don't worry if it's going to cross me. Don't worry if it's going to offend me. If it's in the book, preacher, preach it to us. And that's what I'm going to give an account for, Brother Fultz, is preaching the Word of God, giving you truth. And what you do with it will be what you have to give an account for. But God says, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's all stand.